Hello, and welcome back to the Dungeons & Dragons Podcast UK. My name is Yasmin, and I will be the DM.
Hi, my name is Samantha. I play Elora Greyvale, and she is a sorceress from the province of Nevalia.
Hello, I'm Colin, and I play Cuin de Greymont, a paladin from Flarben in the province of Gavinny.
Hi, I'm Ryan. I play Ogvar Shawfort, a goat-herding, mushroom-seeking ranger from Kessig.
Hi, I'm Rick, and I play Otto, a spring sage from Hanweir, sworn to the land, wandering the plain and setting wrongs to right with his ursine companion, Bojo.
Previously, in The Secrets of the Silver City, early evening saw the party paladin playing host to a little potion popping. However, Cuin did gain their curative benefits once the strange side effects had subsided and found himself feeling much better by morning. As the new day dawned, and with breakfast done and dusted, Ogvar was looking particularly pretty in platinum as he proudly paraded his new wardrobe item around his waist. The team knew that the absent Arcanist was far too absorbed in his attempts to crack Katarina's codex to bid them adieu. So, with their steeds saddled, the six set out for Saltstone with Bojo the Bear in tow. En route, Eric's attempts to feign affluence fell flat on its face as none of his new travelling companions were fooled by his flannel or his leering laugh. Presently, after a harmonious half-day trek and some pleasant weather, they found themselves within touching distance of their destination. With a spot of clumsy clambering, what problems might they now perceive from their placement high on the plateau? Episode 129, A Bird's Eye View.
Before we get started with this episode of The Secrets of the Silver City, the previous night in Jenrik's Tower, the entire party leveled up to level 10. Let's take a look at what they gained.
The character is Cuin de Greymont, who has just gone up a level, and he's chosen to take one level of cleric, which has improved his fortitude by 2 and his will by 2. He also gets 3 cantrips and 3 first level spells. The cantrips are light, create water and mending. The spells bless water, divine favour and magic weapon from his war domain. And the paladin part, he swapped one of his divine favours for bless weapon. And his hit points have gone up 8 to 81.
Cool. Elora has now gone up to be a level 10 sorcerer. Her hit points have gone from 48 to 53. She gains her very first 5th level spell, of which she can cast 3 times per day. She has an extra cantrip, which is chosen as mending. And as this is an even level uplift, she has swapped out a 1st level mage armour in favour of 1st level featherfall. Rowan has now 2 extra hit points, which now stands at 26.
Ogvar has levelled up and has decided to take an extra level of Ranger, which has brought his HP up from 50 to 54. He has been granted the Woodland Stride feat, which gives him more mobility in difficult terrain. He has distributed six skill points, which are in listen, use rope, move silently, jump and tumble.
Okay, so Otto has just advanced to level 10 along with everyone else. First up, hit dice. On a d8 I rolled a 1 naturally. Now we do have min out rules, so that one goes to the halfway point, 4, and he gets +3 from his constitution, so he gains 7 hit points in total, going to 82. In addition to being a level 10 druid, he's also a level 8 ascetic due to his vow of poverty. This gives him a couple of other bonus abilities. He gets +1 natural armor class, and he gains a mind shielding ability, now making Otto immune to detect thoughts, discern lies, and in any way to discern his alignment. He gets +1 to his base attack bonus, taking him to +7, and he gains a few extra skill points, putting them in things like knowledge nature, spot, concentration, use magic device, that sort of thing. He gains +1 wild shape per day as a 10th level druid, now making that 4 times a day he can change his form, and in each time he uses that, he can actually retain that form for up to 10 hours. He also gains 2 additional spell slots, one at 4th level, one at 5th. At 4th level, I'm probably going to have Otto memorise sometimes Wind at Back, great spell, doubles your overland movement, but also, and at the moment, we're going to stay using Enhance Wild Shape, which gives him a few more options with all those Wild Shape choices. And on the 5th level, we've got a couple of great options here, both of which I'll start using a bit more. Bite of the Were-Tiger turns Otto into a real combat monster beyond what he already is, and you've also got Control Winds, which is an amazing battlefield control spell with several uses beyond that. Bojo, the bear, of course, he also advanced. He gets a few bits himself, +2 to his hit dice, he gains evasion, gains a bonus to his armor class, his strength, and learns a new trick he can now track. I don't anticipate using that a lot, but it fits, and I think if ever we end up without our ranger, we've got someone who can serve as backup. Now, if you excuse me, now we've advanced level 10, I'm already looking forward to a level 11, so it's time to go off and kill some monsters. Catch you all soon.
She's gonna say it. Well, can't get any worse, can it?
Did you have to?
Here we go. well. It's a bit of flavour, isn't it?
She can't unsay it.
We're doomed.
That's an 18 plus 1, which is a 19.
Oh, nice.
Okay, nice. So Esther rolled a 17 plus whatever. 17 is going to be enough to do it. So yeah, both Esther and Elora, you shut up.
Didn't say a word.
Both Esther and Elora are able to kind of scurry their way up the rock. They've perhaps observed you on far and figured out that, you know, you've probably found the best places to put the hands and feet. So yeah, Esther and Elora are both able to get up on top of this outcropping perfectly fine. So you're all up there with exception of Otto. And you can see the town below. It's a good probably half an hour away. You would say another half an hour's ride. But you are greeted with an aerial view of this town. However, the town isn't the thing that catches your eye. What does catch your eye is the large black painted planks of a man of war in the harbour.
The whole ship is painted black.
Oh yeah, it's entirely black. It is incredibly large. You can see it has 3 main masts, along with a smaller mast to the rear on the poop deck area. It dominates the harbour. And Elora, can you roll me a knowledge nautical, please?
I can.
And the rest of you can roll me spot checks as well.
Okay.
That's a 4 plus 0, so that's only a flat 4 for Elora, unfortunately.
That's 17 plus 6, which is 23 for Kieran.
23, nice.
That one.
Oh,
I'm still coiling my rope up, and I've got it like I've got it all tangled up, and there's a knot in it, and I'm not really paying attention. And
can you run with spot check as well, please?
A spot check.
Yeah.
Yes, I can.
Otto, how are we looking?
Did you want my roll as well?
An 8.
Obviously, I'm not on the outcropping.
You're not there.
Oh no, you're not there, are you?
No.
Okay, no, never mind. Ignore that. Elora.
That would be an 8 plus a 7, which is a 15 in total.
So we've got a 15, a 26.
No, 23.
23. 16, 23, and a 1. Okay, so Ogvar, you are sufficiently distracted with attempting to roll your rope up. But both Qin and Elora, you can see the masses silhouetted against, obviously this in black, silhouetted against the blue of the water, and it's actually a decent day, so the sun is reasonably light, reasonably strong. Silhouetted against this, you can see the numerous ropes which are connected to the masts and to the sails leading down to the deck of the ship. Just they almost look like they're dripping off the top sails and the cross beams. There are so many of them, they are like hanging and dripping down almost. The sails are tattered, and usually you would think they are not in a serviceable condition, but they look tattered, they look ripped, they look frayed, pure black. The ship itself looks to be a work of beauty. It is covered in carvings, in, you know, you can't see the details, but you can see that this is clearly carved. And at the prow you can see a large figurehead of a skull. It's almost got this kind of gothic look to it. It's dark, it's heavy set, it looks this is just this sense of opulence. If you go into an old church and you see like all the carvings, it's just, it looks to be gorgeous work. And around the masts you can also see a vast quantity of flying creatures. You can't tell what they are from this distance, but they look big.
Are they around the ship?
Yeah, so they're swooping, making laps around the sails, around the masts, dipping below to skim across the water underneath the prow. They are, you know, they're making loops. They're very clearly moving around.
Okay. I'm assuming that Elora does not know this ship.
No. You've not seen this ship.
No.
It's very, very recognisable.
Yeah.
It's a rather ornate ship, but it seems to have had better days. What do you reckon? It's a bit tatty, right, all the sails, but it's fairly elaborately carved. What are those things flying around?
I have... From here, I genuinely don't know. They're quite large. I do not recognise the ship, and it is quite distinctive. I mean, that's not small. Would Elora think that it was a cargo ship? What would she think?
This is a man of war.
Right, so it's
this is most
armed up to
definitely this. Not a cargo ship. You are used to seeing the shallow drafted boats and sloops, merchant vessels, perhaps a galleon around the place, one of the more seafaring ones which takes the route from Haven Girl down to Drunau. But you are more used to the shallow drafted boats which sail the waterways from Gavany, from Thraben down to
Haven
Girl.
Would she know who might? I mean, man of war, I mean, that's got to be some military outfit or pirate outfit, or would she have any idea whatsoever?
Not particularly. So, make me another knowledge nautical, please.
No, that's a five all in.
Yeah.
She really doesn't know this.
So,
boat.
You're not sure who you know who would have seen a ship like this before. You are the associates you make in your day job, so to speak. They are dock workers. They are people who run these routes constantly, the routes from Gavany to Havengull, or from Havengull on the sea round to Junau. You know, these are the routes that you follow, and you will have always, you know, set crews who travel this route. Casper has his own crews who work for him and who only travel those routes exclusively. So you wouldn't have any idea where to start thinking about who might have seen a ship like this. Certainly pirates do exist, however they wouldn't have anything of this size. They're more small crews on small boats running guerrilla attacks. That, you know, there is nothing really, really this size in the waterways. Kieran, make me a knowledge religion check, please. I mean, this type of boat would not be going up rivers. This is, you know, this is a seafaring boat.
That's a 10 plus 2, 12.
12, okay. So with that check on the knowledge religion, Kieran, you know, as far as you are aware, the Church of Avacyn does have its own fleet. It has its own boats. They are mostly stationed up in Thraben. They are, however, lighter crafts to move troops and men around. They always look very ostentatious, very well polished, always clean, always well kept, with pure white sails with silver filigree on them. You know, they're very much this one specific type of ship. They are all outfitted the same. They are very, very light ships because Thraben does not have a seaport.
I don't think it's one of the church's ships. And even if it was, it wouldn't be all in black.
If it's
all in black, I'd say we need to be a bit careful down there.
Well, this is a warship.
Oh yes, it's a warship. It's probably some form of man of war, but I've read about them in the old moving the old counters and pieces around on the board in strategic lessons. But
yes, I used to love those.
But yes, I would. Can't think of anybody who uses all black.
It's kind of ominous.
Yes. To me, I would be thinking a bit too big for a pirate, I would say, probably.
It's an interesting choice on that prow, isn't it?
Skull. Well, yes. Well, unless it's a Skerstak, of course.
Oh, Kieran, surely they don't... Well, do you think their reach goes that far?
If one set promotes light and white, surely the opposition would go the opposite direction.
I totally understand that mode of thinking. That
Ogvar, you'd have probably joined them and finished detangling your rope at this point.
Yeah, just sort of finishing the last few bits, sort of coiling it around my arm. Okay, that's all done. What are we looking at? Oh, it's a boat.
Yes, it's a large black boat. It's a warship. It's not one of the churches. And Kieran was just saying that possibly, well, the church's boats are decked out in white and silver, which you'd understand. This is black. It has a skull on it, and it's... He suggested maybe it could be... Skerstak?
What I say?
I mean, there's no real basis for that, but I think we should.
What do you think, Oliver?
Well, It's not the most inviting looking boat, is it?
Well,
no, I don't like boats anyway, so yeah. None of them are inviting.
It's there by the town, so we'll be close to where we're going. I think we should all be on heightened alert.
Esther?
Yes?
You got anything to add to this?
Yes, I believe I do, Louis. As you can see, it is obviously offshore. A fair distance out, I'd say it's quite heavy on the draft. Quite a, obviously, big boat, deep boat. Don't want to bring it too into the shallow, so I would suggest that whoever is making ships will either be travelling by air or by sea, some other mode of transport. Breaking it down, it does look quite evil. I would suggest that potentially we are dealing with something quite evil, and as the evilest thing I can think of on this plane is the Skurstag, then I would assume that it is the Skurstag.
Laura groans.
Yes, yes, dearie, I know. Yes. Yes, I would suggest that we are on very much heightened alert.
Okay, I reckon we should just get back down. I think I've seen enough of that boat to know that this is not going to be good news.
Yes.
Let's go and fill Otto in on this. He might have something to add. He's travelled around a bit. Maybe he's heard something.
Right. Okay.
So Laura's going to climb back down the way she came up.
Yep, you climb down. You're all going back down.
Yeah.
Yep, so everyone will make their way back down towards Otto, who has thus far been taking care of the horses and fussing with Bojo.
Otto?
Yes.
I think, right, what we can see from there is obviously everything seems a bit quiet in the town, but there is, as Jenrik said, there is this huge boat. It's a man of war. It's got black tattered sails. The figurehead on the front is a skull. Kewin, and I've never seen it before. I've travelled up and down on boats, but not boats like that, and I've never seen it. I don't know where it's come from. I don't really know who it belongs to. But as Kewin and Esther kind of pointed out, they think it might possibly be linked to, well, it's not good news, so it could well be linked to Skurstag. That's our best guess. Well, that's their best guess, and I'm inclined to agree. Do you have anything that you can add? It's big. It's got many masts, and it's got flying creatures around it. Quite large ones. I don't know what they are. I can't tell from here.
Nothing I could specifically add, I suspect, but would it be useful, perhaps, if I were to have a closer look for you?
Well, I think it might be worth you actually having a look if you can.
There are ways. Was there anyone on board, did you see?
No, other than the creatures moving around it, swooping and diving. Looked like birds, but they were big.
That doesn't sound like much fun, does it?
I travel the seas, and I travel on boats all the time, and this is completely unfamiliar to me.
Did you happen to notice if there were all seabirds flying around? Often these large ships have seagulls and such following them for food and scraps. Is there anything like that there?
I've got to be honest, I was just focusing on the boat itself because that seems to be the main focus. It's a little difficult to notice anything else.
Okay. Eric, is there a well-marked route into Saltstone? And don't try and guess, please.
There is this main route that we have been following. It leads down into the town through the forest. I believe there might be some tracks around the back, but if you want to get a proper bird's eye view, I mean, you will be able to see more of the town from up on the outcropping. The maps were obviously dated from before the town was destroyed, so that's all I have to go on. I have them here, and he pulls out a piece of parchment, which he's obviously had stowed away, in a pocket in the inside of his jacket, and he rolls out the map for you, and it is very clearly old, dated, and shows the town as it was when it was still functioning and not derelict, abandoned and ruined.
Okay, I tell you what, it's going to take me a little while, but I'm pretty sure I could fly out there and get a real bird's eye view. And I think that perhaps rather than wait here, if you would continue on your route, I could maybe try and find you a little bit later. Does that sound sensible?
That sounds like an excellent idea. I don't know what you guys think, but yeah.
Oh, yes, just be very, very careful up there. There's other things flying about. We don't want any injuries.
Oh, be extra careful, I assure you. I have no intention of engaging with anything by myself if I can avoid it. Any thoughts, Kewin? Any thoughts to add?
Not really.
Oh, okay. Well, in which case, Bojo, do be a good lad and look after these good folks for a bit longer, will you? I'll try to be back for dinner time, and I will turn myself into something resembling a fish eagle.
Okay.
And fly off in the general direction of said black ship.
Okay, so you take to the wing, Otto. So, for a very quick reference, because I didn't get a full description in earlier, I gave you the description of the ship, and however, I did not give you the description of the town. What you would have seen when you looked at the town, obviously from the distance you are away, half an hour trip away, upwards, you know, you're not going to see anything in high detail and high resolution without an aid of an ocular device, so to speak. However, you will see that these buildings are old, abandoned, ruined. You can see some buildings have collapsed entirely. Some look, even from distance, look incredibly damaged. However, you do see a couple of large landmarks, one being to the north of the town, so north of the coast, closest to you. You see a large building which looks like it would have once been a church, with another large building next to it, which you assume would be a house of some sort. You would assume that this would be like a town lord kind of house. They are quite big, they would have been quite opulent looking. To the eastern side of the town, so for the purposes of the definition, for any definitions going forward, the shore where the sea is will be north where the ship is. The ship is to the north of you, the church is to the south, to the east. So where you're looking at it from the outcropping,
mm-hmm.
The sea's ahead of you.
Yep.
That is where I'm going to designate as north. It is actually north on the map as well.
Oh, yeah.
So the ship is at the north. The church is to the south. So it's furthest away from the shore.
Yep.
To the east, you have a large area of land which looks to be a mixture of sand and grass. It's somewhere in between, which looks to be, from this distance, looks to be fairly empty, a fairly open space, but also kind of an anomalous space. You would assume, from Jenrick's description as well, that this might be a graveyard of some sorts. It has that look about it. And then to the west-hand side, you have what looks to be a quite close, packed-together kind of residential district. The rest of the buildings in this town are, or they were, reasonably large, middling size, and equally spaced away, but to the west hand side you have a particularly dense area of buildings, quite a few of them quite close together. To the north as well, you have obviously this kind of a C-shaped harbour. It's quite a gentle curve with what appears to be the ruins of some walkways or docks leading out into the water itself. And then kind of northeastern direction, the furthest outmost point of land, you can again see a couple of reasonably large buildings. not as big as the church or what you would assume to be the manor or the city lord, the town lord's residence, but they are large buildings.
Would they say they were residential or?
You wouldn't be able to tell from that distance.
Fair enough.
But they are large. Certainly larger than these other buildings, which you would say are houses. Mm. Otto, you take to the wing.
Caw-caw!
Exactly. And you begin to make your way by air down towards the ship. So going by air, it's probably going to take you less time than it is for the rest to walk, or you can get on the horses and make their way down. But as you fly, you rise above the treetops, you two are greeted with the sight I've just described. You have obviously the town in ruins, and you have this big man of war. And indeed you can see that there are several avian creatures making their way, flying in lazy loops and circles around the masts and around the ship itself.
Okay.
What are you doing?
Are there any seabirds around that are acting normally? Are they being ignored?
Make me a spot check, please.
Sure. So, this is where I rely on the eagle. Apparently it's plus 8 to its perception checks.
Nice.
And combined with my own, it's going to take me 2. So my spot is 18, plus 8 is 26, plus another 8, 34.
Oh, okay. Yeah, with that spot check, you can see some form of seabirds far off in the distance. Well past the ship and probably further down the coast or further out to sea. However, within the area you cannot see any seabirds or in fact any wildlife to speak of in the vicinity of the town, the ship or the bay.
Well, that's slightly worrying. Okay, so my intention would be then to try and fly above the ship and just sort of hover there on the winds if possible for a little bit, moving a small amount if necessary, just looking down and see if there's anything moving on the ship, and also looking to see if I get any more detail on these flying creatures.
Okay, so how high are you planning to go? Are we talking like 10 foot above?
Good question.
30 foot above?
I'm thinking as high as I would reasonably think an eagle might go, so a few hundred feet up at least, I'd say.
Okay, so a few hundred feet up. So the ship is going to be relatively tall with the masts included. So we're going to make a roll here.
Mm-hmm.
She's making a face.
That's always scary.
I know. So with a natural 20 plus 15, as you begin to climb and make your way above the ship, so you're going to have climbed up to, you know, slightly 200-250 odd foot before you reach the ship, before you get over sea, and you're helped along by those thermals hanging in the area. But as you begin to hover above the ship, you can make me a spot check.
33. 7 plus 8 plus these 18.
Okay, yeah, and make me a wisdom check, please, as well.
Flat wisdom. That's going to be
flat wisdom.
A 17 plus 5, 22.
Okay, yeah. So you have a very good view of the ship on an aerial view. It is, as you suspect, or as you've been told. And as you've seen, it is massive. The deck, like the rest of the ship, is a dark black. And you cannot see any movement on deck. What you can see, however, is these birds, and they are avian, they are birds, they are, how big are they? Let me see. Second, it doesn't say how big they are.
Tiny, obviously very, very small. Not a threat at all.
They're really not very tiny. These are large creatures. They are big. I can't see a wingspan, which is annoying me. They are large creatures, so they are incredibly big. You begin to sense that they... Oh, there we go, sorry, found it. The wingspan on these creatures you would estimate to be roughly in the region of 20 foot.
Huh?
Mm.
They are big. And as you are observing the deck and you know, just the ship in general, you notice that a couple of these birds begin to break away, open their wings, and begin rising on the thermals.
Okay. I'm not going to react to initially. My plan is to use this to get as much information as possible. So as they start climbing towards me, I'm assuming that's their intent, I guess my intention will be to try and match their speed and then just a little bit more, if possible, to find out how fast they can go. And that, use that sort of distance to try and observe and get some sort of idea on what their capabilities might be.
Okay, what is your flying speed, Otto?
With the spell I've got active, it's currently 90 feet.
Okay, yeah. So as you begin to rise, you get pretty quick, and they are matching you. However, you start going a bit quicker, and you begin to yaw away.
Do they have the appearance of raptors? Do they look like birds of prey? Do they look alien? Do they have any other appendages? What am I seeing?
Yeah, so they look like a giant vulture.
Mm.
They've got oily black feathers. They look generally dishevelled. And as you look at them, they've got this almost this strange intelligence behind their eyes, and their eyes almost glow red. They kind of observe you with this almost alien intelligence, and they've got this very, alongside the typical kind of bold vulture head, they've got this very sharp raptor beak.
Okay. And while sort of, if I just sort of gently circled while maintaining the distance, how many of these can I see in the air?
Oh, wow. That's a question, isn't it?
It's quite an important one.
Okay. As you kind of start counting and taking stock of how many of these creatures there are, you can see approaching you or attempting to approach you, there are three. However, circling around the rest of the ship, you can see somewhere between 20 and 40 of them.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah, that's too many to risk. And roughly what sort of speed are they travelling at?
They're not going at your top speed. They are slower. They are big creatures. They are slower. They are not meant for hunting or for any kind of fast flying. These are, you would say, carrion birds. They're not actively going to be looking for anything to hunt in that sense. Although they are still incredibly quick, far quicker than you would be walking.
Would they be quicker than, and I'm thinking about my companions here, than a running horse, for example?
Running horse, what are we going to say? You probably move, say an eagle, probably moves a bit faster than a horse. So yes, they are going to be faster than a running horse.
Okay. So I'm going to gently move away from them and try and get a look over the town to see if I can see anything moving in the town. Keeping my speed up to evade them.
So, in the process of you circling over this ship and trying to get some better angles on it, you will also see one other thing.
Mm-mm.
You will see at the rear of this ship the nameplate.
Yeah.
Which reads the Shattered Moon.
Shattered Moon.
So, you begin to move over the town. These vultures, they track you. They're obviously not as fast as you, but they do track you, and they do kind of keep as much pace as they can with you. And they're certainly interested in your presence. Moving over the town, you can't see any movement in the western side of the town. You don't see any movement in the southern part of the town. You do, however, see some movement in the eastern part of the town.
What sort of movement am I seeing?
So, from the air, you can see in the graveyard there appears to be some vaguely humanoid creatures moving around.
Okay, and are they sort of moving slowly, sort of staggering around, or are they moving with more purpose?
They are moving slowly, staggering, moving slowly. Doesn't seem to be any kind of order or any kind of form. You can make me a spot check as well, again, please.
That's a bit better, so that's a nat 20.
Nice.
That's the 18 plus 8. So a total of 46 for a new record high for
me. That'll do it. So you can see that these figures, they appear to be undead in nature, you would say. You can see some very visible bone, you can see, you know, they're clad in armour, but you can see visible bone.
Okay. That's another fun little thing. At the moment I can't think of anything else that I would want to particularly have it. Well, no, I can. Those larger buildings, is there anything I can ascertain from the air as to what other purpose they might have?
So the larger buildings by the sea, by the harbour area, you can see that one of these buildings, there looks to be about three of them. Two of them appear to be joined by another kind of smaller building / corridor. They appear to be interjoined, but two kind of almost two separate buildings.
Mm-hmm.
One of these buildings has retained some damage. You can see that it's been battered, beaten. It's, you know, the half of the roof is missing. It's open to the elements. And the other building is almost at right angles to this one building. So you've got this double building, and then you've got on the right angle another large building, but it's separate. Looking at them, they appear to be, you would say, some form of something related to shipbuilding, to the harbour, perhaps a harbour master's, and the other building looks to be a merchant's of some kind. You can see a very dilapidated old sign, which appears to, one half of it's gone, but the other half appears to say Champs, which you would obviously then logically assume is merchants.
Yeah. And the other buildings, like the one next to the church and that, anything else to note from this position before I find a way to return to everyone else?
Yeah, okay. So from this position, you can see that the one building, the building by the church, is what looks to be a house or a residence of some kind.
Mant?
Yeah, it appears to be some kind of mansion or manor house, very much a one of the more opulent buildings in the area. It's got like a it's almost got this so if you imagine the building itself is very square in design, roughly two stories tall with a roof on top. It almost has kind of like a C-shaped building on the first level extending out from the left hand side, which you would assume is housing quarters, a public office front, something like that. But it looks to be a more noble mansion. It's certainly one of the five biggest buildings in this town. And you certainly can see a church right next door to it. It is taller than this building. It's, you'd say, probably about four or five stories tall, including the top of it. And it's got this one singular tower, and the rest of it's just kind of like a rectangular-shaped building.
Mm-hmm.
But it is most definitely a church, and you can see it is very, very poor condition. It too has sustained damage. You know, it's looking rough.
Okay. In which case, to return, what I'm going to do, I'm going to move out to sea. And if these things at some point do sort of lag behind enough for it to be safe, I'm going to make the attempt to go catch a fish while I'm at it. Hopefully a large one. And then I'm going to go the very long way around. I'm going to circle back. I'm going to basically go back in the direction I came from, but then I'll circle back around to join these rather than go directly to where I think they might be.
Okay, yeah. So you make your way over the eastern side of the town, over the graveyard, and out to sea that way. You are moving faster than these vultures. They do lag behind at some point. And by the time you've disappeared, probably 100 foot out to sea, past the coast of the edge of the coastline on the eastern side, they have given up and they've returned back to the ship, you would assume. They're no longer tailing you. You can attempt to catch a fish. You can make me a survival check on that one.
Well,
see if you catch anything.
I will do that, mostly just in case they're still watching. That'd be my main concern. I'll make this as real as possible. Got a 7 plus 12, 19.
19, okay, yeah, you're able to catch a fish. It's a fish. It's probably a cod of some kind. It's got scales and fins and stuff. But you are able to circle back round to the rest of the group. By this point, you have probably been gone a bit longer than you were expecting, mm-hmm. Because the unexpected delay of the vultures. And by the time you rejoin the group, Eric, Elora, Esther, Kewin, and Okvar, you've all reached the edge of the tree line before you hit the town. And you are, I'm assuming, not going any further, and will be kind of waiting, perhaps off the path in the tree line, for Otto's return.
As they gazed down on the Gothic-styled black galleon lurking ominously in the harbour, the companions concerned had deepened. Mindful to avoid the clearly visible and considerable numbers of vicious-looking vultures, the druid ditched his natural form in favour of a fish eagle and took flight to embark on a somewhat crucial fact-finding mission. As Otto surveyed the scene from way up high, all seemed silent and still, save the huge black oily-feathered fiends lurking lazily in the airspace above the shattered moon. Away to the east of the settlement, he spied a suspicious proliferation of people well past their sell-by dates, surreptitiously shuffling around within Saltstone's cursed burial grounds. With investigations concluded, it was time to turn tail, beat a hasty retreat, and share his findings with his friends. What will they decide to do next? Find out in episode 130. Hey! You made it this far, so lend us your ears for a moment longer if you will. Firstly, we are most humbled that you are enjoying our yarn, and the crew thank you from the bottom of their hearts for your patronage. Producing this podcast is incredibly hard work, and as such, if you would like to support us, there are a few ways in which you could really make a difference. Sharing links to friends and family helps to spread the word so others like you can find us, and in turn they too can enjoy the show. Equally helpful is leaving a 5-star review on Spotify and any other streaming services, which will help us immensely. Or, if you feel you could go that extra mile and contribute a few coppers to keep our creative juices flowing, you can hop on over to our Buy Me a Coffee page or drop us an email. We would all be immensely grateful for your support in any form. Lastly, we invite you to visit our website, where you will find information on our campaign from backstories to settings. Join our Facebook group or follow us on Twitter. All the links are in our episode bios. Don't forget to smash the subscribe and download buttons so you never miss the next episode. See you all again next week, folks.